This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. Now, if you would like to contact me, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. And the program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we'd love to have any comments that you might want to make on the program or any questions or prayer requests that you might want to leave. We'll take all your comments and prayer requests seriously. Now, we've been looking at different words this year that reflect the value of the Lord and which are connected with the simplicity of the gospel. And we've looked at, in the last one, at some things that are new, and that was like the new birth. We become a new creation in Christ, and all things become new when we are saved. Today I want to look at a word that we often associate with the gospel, and that's prophecy. Now, I could spend some time going through the Old Testament and showing you the number of times the Old Testament prophesied the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at those different prophecies that were written 400 to 1,000 to maybe 2,000 years before Christ even came, that have been fulfilled according to the gospel writers and according to the writers of the epistles. When we look at that, it becomes very apparent that this Bible is dependable and that we ought to be able to depend upon it. Now, today we're coming to a day that is often called Palm Sunday, and I want to look at a word called prophecy. Now, prophecy can be either speaking for God or forth-telling the future because of God. It can have to do with telling the future, but a lot of times it has to do with just simply speaking for God so that God can speak through us. And a lot of the times, that's what the gospel and the teaching of the epistles is all about. It's prophecy in the sense that God has given the writers of the gospels and of the epistles the message that they need to pass on to others, and they're speaking for God. And in that sense, all of the Bible is prophetic because it speaks for God, but in particular, there are some prophecies that speak to us today, and one of them has to do with this day that we call Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was predicted in Daniel chapter 9. Now, Palm Sunday, as you know, is the day when the Lord made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass. And then, of course, that was on the first day of the week. And then by Friday of that week, the same crowd that had heralded his coming and had wanted to make him king apparently was the same crowd that cried, "Away with him, we will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify, crucify." But Palm Sunday, this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where the Lord presented himself as the king, and where he was rejected by the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the crowd that cried, "Crucify, crucify." This Palm Sunday is a day that was predicted by Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, where we read, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." That's a total of 69 weeks. "The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks," which includes also the 7 weeks or 69 weeks, "after the 62 weeks," here it is, "Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come," which would be apparently people out of the Roman Empire, the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And Titus did that in AD 70. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, there's a lot of aspects to this prophecy, but what's interesting is that there's a man by the name of Sir Robert Anderson who wrote a book called The Coming Prince, and he apparently was an astronomer in England, and he worked out the actual calendar from the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. He apparently that date was fairly well established under Artaxerxes, the emperor of Babylon. And from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the prince, he found out was fulfilled when the Lord made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He actually thought it would be fulfilled at the crucifixion, and that's what he was trying to establish. And he was surprised when, instead of coming up using the Jewish calendar, the 360-day year, and accounting for changes in that calendar in order to adjust it over the years, and I don't understand all of that, but if you want to get into the technical material, you can read the book. When he got through with it, he didn't come up with the day that the Messiah was crucified. He came up with the day that the Lord made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of the ass, and we read about that in Luke chapter 19. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you especially, in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." And I think the phraseology that we have in the King James and in the New King James is very significant. It was in this your day. The Lord seemingly was putting an exclamation mark behind the fact that that triumphal entry was fulfilling the Daniel 9 prophecy. Now, the Daniel 9 prophecy is a little confusing because it talks about weeks. And what Daniel was doing, what Daniel was understanding, was that in Jeremiah, 70 weeks of captivity were predicted for the children of Israel when they went into captivity into Babylon. And he thought those 70 years had expired, and he was praying that the Lord would then deliver Israel and bring them back into the land. And he then gets a message from an angel who tells him that there's going to be more to that 70 years than what he understands, and the Lord takes those 70 years and he expands them by using this figure of weeks. And it turns out that these weeks are probably poorly translated. The word probably means something that we English people don't really understand, but it turns out they're weeks of years. So every day represents a year, and by looking at the 69 years, there were 483 years involved from the time the command went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto this date in Luke chapter 19, when the Lord weeps over the city because he says, "If you had known, even you especially, in this your day, the things which belong to your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." So Palm Sunday was the presentation of the Lord to the children of Israel, but they rejected him. Away with this man. They said, "Crucify, crucify." But in making this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, what's interesting is he made it on the back of a colt, the foal of an ass. And so the Lord had a donkey that was prepared to help him make this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I'm told that often a donkey was a sign of peace if a ruler rode on it. I'm not real familiar with all the culture associated with that. I would have thought the Lord would have been riding on a white horse, but that comes in Revelation 19. But here he comes on the colt, the foal of an ass, and we read in Mark chapter 11, he says, "Go into the village," he tells his disciples, "go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered into it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. So really, we have a donkey tied at a door in a place where two ways meet. No, and they were to loose it and bring it to them. So we have this situation where a colt, which is an unclean animal, was used by the Lord to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the part that I have read isn't real clear on the fact that it was standing at a door without, in a place where two ways meet. But if you read each of the accounts of this, that is the situation. And it's often true in the Bible that we stand at crossroads. Are we going to do what the Lord wants us to do? Or are we going to do what we want to do? That was the situation with Eve back in the Garden of Eden. And it's a situation with all of us. When it comes to salvation, we need to recognize we're nothing but unclean animals. And even an unclean animal can be made usable to the Lord. The Lord said, if they wondered why they were loosing this animal, it's because the Lord had need of him. And we often preach the gospel from the standpoint of eternal salvation, but we can also preach the gospel from the standpoint that everybody that's been brought into this world needs to be saved because the Lord could use them. The Lord has need of them. He commissioned Isaiah back in Isaiah 6 to go ye therefore and teach these nations, and they'll reject what you're going to say. That's in Isaiah chapter 6. But we are commissioned in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and in Acts to preach the gospel as well. But we're just unclean animals, and we can be used if the Lord has taken control of us and is guiding us in this trip that we're making for him. So the Lord has need of it, and immediately they will send him. So they went their way and found the colt. No, it was here. The colt tied by the door outside on the street. And it was a colt, it was tied where two ways meet. And I've often sang that song, I met Jesus at the crossroads in a place where two ways meet. Satan, too, was standing there, and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasure I will give to you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. See what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me. Now, the Lord was the stone, we read, that the builders rejected, and he's become the chief cornerstone. And so we who are just unclean animals can be used, even as the colt was used, to present the Lord in his triumphal entry, and we can present the Lord as our personal Savior. And even today, we should rejoice in the fact that the Lord was able to make this triumphal entry and was willing then by the next Friday to become the Lamb of God that bears away the sin of the world. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who are listening upon this program, and we trust that it will be effective in leading some to the Savior. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.